Hello, my lovely podcast friends. How are you doing? How's your life going on? And is it all going the proper way? If you are living in the western side of the world, the Christmas celebration are going on. So how is your Christmas preparation going? Is it going the way you enjoy it most of Christmas? On today's final show prior to Christmas, we're going to talk about a new reason the US dollar is going to die. We're going to have some Christmas spending, my personal Christmas build, the lovely moments of international taxations, the Bitcoin collapse, and there are elections going on, so that means that there is a time for the government to use some more violence and to get some more intimidation out. So that's that, and after that we're going to have an interview about Spanish real estate and making money on Spanish real estate. So let me know what you think about it. You can leave me a tweet by @LodewijkHof, or you can leave a comment below on SoundCloud. Social media is here. Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, Weibo, blogging, LinkedIn, Swan, Google+. But how to use them in your advantage? Get yourself the Social Media Expert course. It's the smart point to use all social media in your advantage without burning all your time. HofProfit.com/SMM. I say HofProfit.com/SMM. Yeah, and on the show I frequently talk about the fact that China is slowly and steadily killing the American dollar. And there are prime examples to see what's happening, and I got another great example. Because now the Chinese have made it more and more easy to convert your oil futures into gold. As you might know, the system is relatively easy. China is buying oil from everywhere in the world. What they are saying, if you want to sell them your oil, which if you are an oil exporting country, you definitely want to do, then what it is, what they say to you is, yeah, that's cool, but we don't pay in dollars. If you insist on that, then we have no deal. We pay in our currency, but after moment of payment is, you can immediately convert the currency into other currency or into gold. So most people simply go for the gold. That makes sense. I mean, it's gold, and gold has an historical value. Gold is always being the go-to, and gold is inflation proof. And well, the US dollar is subject pretty soon to extreme hyperinflation and to terrible loss of value. Next to that, you have the big problem that it's an American currency. So if Donald Trump decides to kick you out of the dollar system, you're out and there is nothing to do against it. And what you see now is that this is a method that the Russian government is using to increase their gold sources. What the Russians are basically doing, selling their oil to China. Then say, yeah, we don't want your RMBs, we don't need them. We are simply taking the gold. So please send us the gold. You see that in Angola, where the RMB is now the second currency of the country, they are doing the same. And the reason is easy. And there's one thing that you need to realize. Angola is literally one of the biggest oil suppliers for China. And that means that the destabilization of Angola is more dangerous for them than the problems in Saudi Arabia, where the royal family is blackmailing people and locking them up into the Ritz-Carlton only because the government needs money to finance its terroristic war in Yemen. So, well, definitely I'm no longer welcome in Saudi Arabia, so that's one thing. But what it's gonna mean is that slowly on more and more countries are making this deal. And that means that the petrodollar is as dead as a dodo. There's no way that you can that it's gonna be usable. And especially now Saudi Arabia is also buying Russian military gear. It's bloody easy for me. This will mean that ultimately the dollar is dead. China and the RMB will become the world's super currency. And since the Russian government allowed the Crimea in, or did take the Crimea from Ukraine, whatever position you have on it, it's fine by me. Just tell me why you have that position. But then Russia has kicked out of the dollar system. This means that, for example, SWIFT is no longer available. Very useful for international payments. But also Visa, MasterCard, Diners, and American Express were being kicked out of the system. So at once they had a completely new system. And they have an American-proof system. So they basically now are exporting their financial services on that way also. And that means that the sanctions are not working that well. Yeah, so sure, they have effect, but a lower oil price has more effect. So what do you think about it? Let me know. You can leave me a tweet, and I look forward to hearing back from you.
The Brexit is here. Article 50 is triggered. The talks are going on. Unprecedented change will happen. We know this, we know things for certain. The Brexit is a profit maker. At least if you are open for making some money. Get yourself the profitable Brexit report. It explains how the Brexit could happen. The economic fundamentals. Finally, also a few great methods to make some money on the Brexit. So, are you a profit maker? Are you someone that's open-minded when it comes to making profits? Check hofprofit.com/Brexit.
Yeah, it's that special time of the year again. It's the time that we get all the lists, all the marks and all the lines everywhere how the past year was. And as you could have heard in my last podcast, which was basically just a look back at 2017, because yes, I will do that. I was also doing it. Then you know that of past year sucked, and therefore I was simply trying to give you a great Christmas message. Let's stop unnecessary wars. Let's go for peace, and let's stop the financing source of wars, which is taxation and governments. Let's simply go for common sense. Think. Do normal things. Don't go for the violence route. Go for the normal route. I mean, it's crazy that not using violence is sometimes crazy. And governments and all those bureaucrats should simply being terminated and should being fired.
All the listeners love to making some money, but you will have to pay tax upon your money. But that's to change. You can save on your tax. Pay no tax, completely legal. Start earning more money so you can take care for your beloved ones, so you can travel visa free. Get yourself the tax-free passport. Get yourself the starting point to a tax-free lifestyle. A lifestyle which is an ultimate freedom. Hofprofit.com/passport. I say hofprofit.com/passport.
As you know, I'm really a big supporter of tax competition and international taxation. The reason is easy. It allows everyone in the world to make a choice, to decide if you pay tax, if you not pay tax, if you are gonna go for your financial future, and if you want to participate in unneeded wars, bureaucrats and greedy, inefficient people who are stealing your money. I mean, what people forget about all those low tax structures, and you saw it with the Paradise Papers, the Panama Papers, the LuxLeaks, and so on. Those countries exist for an easy reason. There are governments who are really greedy, and it's the greed of other high tax governments that they are gonna go out. And you see some really interesting parts of the past year, like to give you an idea, is that there German is a tax on online coffee sales. And that means that the government is losing money and the government is having less revenue in. The plan of, to give porn in Spain a lower taxation and high culture. Or what do you think about a transgender tax collection in Pakistan? About the tax prostitutes with parking matters, and that is a plan that the Germans have. And then we got we have great and lovely examples of people who stood up for it. One of them is a personal hero for me, Twan Manders. He advised people in low tax structures. I already had him on the show. But what do you say about his life? But it was a really an interesting day about the tax avoidance, which was in tax planning that was legally in Australia. There was a brothel owner, and he provided his services free, so he got lower his tax bill. So paying his staff and paying the operation cost would mean that not charging his customers would mean that it's free. Well, then you say about free theater passes for patrons who bought lightly taxed carrots. It is all just insane. I mean, what do you say about this? And this is just something that you need to think about. Why are governments and councils like the European Commission, the OECD, and also all those terrible organizations who really contribute nothing to society, why are they not simply going for criticizing high-tax countries. Why are they not saying, well, we think that you should allow people to prosper. We think that unemployment is a bad idea. We think that you need to secure more jobs and more ideas for new great innovations from your country. And sadly, for those countries, taxation is not working. I mean, if you look in the Netherlands and in the border towns, the coffee is no longer being advertised with Dutch brand, it are German brands. And it is cheaper due to the coffee tax. It is insane. It is just, if you think about it, just think about it for 3 seconds. It's not working, it makes no sense, and what they simply should do is say to all those greedy bureaucrats, why are you on the payroll of people? Why are we sending armed people to take money to pay you? Yeah, everyone saw it. Bitcoin took a big bite. Bitcoin is down and Bitcoin is likely to go down even more, and Bitcoin is going to be going up more. And I thought it was wise for me to make a comment about it before we move to the elections and the interview, because let's face it, I'm really a blockchain supporter. I'm enthusiastic and I love the idea. I'm selling a report about Bitcoin. I make some money out of it, so it's all nice, and I'm being offered a multi-level marketing opposition in blockchain technology, which I'm thinking about, and I will bring you a lot of the great, interesting Bitcoin and blockchain guests from around the world in this show. But what I'm just thinking now is, people talk about it as going up and going down. That's the same with shares. If you are buying it to speculate with it, then it is important. But Bitcoin is really a tough currency to pay in. Not so many shops accept it. I know about one supermarket in the Netherlands. And I know of another supermarket who has, across all its shops, they are now accepting Alipay. But I will get into that a little bit later. But what you need to realize is, blockchain is cutting is slowly on reducing the position from people to control it, because you know the number of bitcoins is limited, the technology behind it is really great, it has its plus and it has its negative things. The best thing is that it is without a decentralized government, and that is central bankers and government bureaucrats a really big problem, because, well, let's face it, what do they have to say about Bitcoin? And you see it in the Netherlands, we are heading to our city council election, so I will spend some attention on it, and we're gonna have a referendum about a spookswet, which we are going to vote for, and I just realized I need to do some things for. But what's the interesting is that what they are doing is slowly taking it on, and I would simply say that it is time for us all to take a step out, go to research it, go check it out, and go see if we can implement it and new forms of payment. I mean, to give you an idea, I make most of my money via PayPal. So I get the money in via PayPal. Not so many physical shops in the Netherlands are accepting PayPal. So I'm now pushing some shops to get PayPal in as a payment option, because it will make things for me really easy. And that's just what I mean. To take it back to Bitcoin, Bitcoin will go up, Bitcoin will go down. It's a bit like trading on the stock market when there are not so many investors, and the institutional investors have closed their books and doing nothing. Then what you see is really big pluses and minuses, only because with really low volumes. And this is the same with Bitcoin. It can happen. And with that Bitcoin comments, I think it's a better thing for us to simply head towards the elections, because we had elections in Honduras. Yes, and election in Honduras means violence, killing, and raping. I think that is something that I misunderstood about democracy. I always thought it was about using your free speech to say what you want, vote for the people that you trust, and not about raping, murdering, and killing people. But maybe that's my error. In that case, sorry guys, and then we could do the Honduras route. But what we are now heading towards is election. So we have the Honduras elections, which are basically gonna be staged and gonna be fraud. So, well, I mean, it's Latin America. What do you expect? It's just a small socialistic country. And socialism is a great system, so long you have other people's money. If you have a look at the elections in Catalonia, then the story is for me completely different. Because in Catalonia, it's clearly to see that the Spanish government lost. The Spanish government went for killing the majority in the Senate, on the people who want to become independent. They arrested ministers. When people went voting, they sent armed people to throw people out of a voting and polling station. Just imagine this. It's not, it makes no sense. So what is now time to go for is have a look, think about it. And what the people of Catalonia spoke out, basically said it's enough of it. And that brings me to the interview, because I had, the honor of interviewing Douwe. Douwe is a regulated financial advisor. And I saw him because he was advertising and promoting a project in Barcelona. And I saw it for the first time just prior to the referendum, in which the brave people of Catalonia said they want to go for financial stability, success, and go their own way, which would mean problems, with the European Union. But if you look at the continent of Europe, the richest countries are not a member of the European Union. So the richest member state of the European Union is Luxembourg. So the tough question is it really terrible that they are not part of the European Union? And let's face it, you could say about, yeah, well, the football. Yeah, let me ask you one easy question. Would there be any competition in the world that would not be happy with FC Barcelona in it? I mean, in the Netherlands, there's a lot of talks that the Dutch football teams are losing the international competition. Let's say Catalonia goes for itself. And FC Barcelona said, yeah, well, we are no longer going to play against Madrid. We're not going to play the El Clasico. We are now going to play against PSV Eindhoven, Feyenoord, Ajax from Amsterdam. I think that the chance that they are not going to become the champion of the country ever is really small. But for the Dutch football, it would be great. I mean, that's just what it's going to be. And, well, on that side, I would say, I talked with Douwe. We talked about what's happening in Spain, making money in Spain, and investing in real estate. So I would say, what do you think about it? Let me know. I look forward to hearing back from you. And let's get started out with the interview.
So, Douwe, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. The honor is all on my side. I saw in a few blog articles that you published that you're active into Spanish real estate. What are you exactly doing?
Okay, that's a nice question. Thank you for that. I'm founder and owner of a company called Matching Capital, matchingcapital.com, and we are specialized in peer-to-peer funding, or in other words, alternative financing, which means that retail investors can participate in real estate and property development projects through us. And we work with experienced and well-managed partners in different places, and one of them is Barcelona. And so the most recent project that you have seen has been in city center of Barcelona, which in this particular case has been two apartments that are being renovated and added more space and luxurious for, you know, for the upside, for the up market. Which means that it adds value. It makes a higher selling price possible. And, well, I can talk a long time about that. I'm really excited about some projects and other projects. And we are right walkers now. And in the new year, we have a project in Holland. People like, you know, people who live in Holland, housing for them. That's one of the things that we do. Also, we do student housing in places such as Utrecht, which are university cities in Holland. And we will be doing projects also in Barcelona and in Lisbon, for instance.
Okay, but if I look at the moment at the Spanish real estate, especially today, because at the moment of the interview there is a vote going on in Barcelona.
Yes.
Sounds like a tough and dangerous, from a political perspective, market.
Yeah, well, yes and no. It's not an obviously relevant topic to speak about. Maybe for the listeners who are not completely informed, Barcelona is the capital of the region of Catalunya, which is a region in Spain. And historically, Catalunya, as well as the Basque in the north of Spain, have had a lot of independence, you know, how they are politically managed. And part of the people and part of the politicians really have the ambition to become a separate country. so to become loose from Spain. And what you see is that, well, obviously I get questions from clients that are investing with us. You know, myself there. Mm-hmm. And I get questions like this, very relevant, you know, how should we see this? And I don't have a crystal ball, obviously, but what I see is that, you know, there has been a lot of news recently, and now obviously with the poll again in Catalonia today. But and to be honest, I don't think they have any chance of becoming separate from Spain, because Spain will not allow it, and the European Union will. Well, will not allow it, you can say, but they will not have them. So they will be, you know, out of the EU if it would be something. But first of all, Spain is not allowing it. And second, a bit deeper to the numbers, you see that in the referendum recently, like 44% of the people were voting. And from the 44%, a vast majority was for independence, but also 56% of the people was not showing up for different reasons.
That's
but
basically
they
like
were
the Brexit.
Not showing
okay.
up.
It's basically like the Brexit. A lot of people didn't show up, and they now people regret the vote.
Yes, that's a little bit. That's an interesting comparison. And what you see today is another election for. Right. Which is not a referendum, but for a new government in Catalonia. And whatever it's going to be, they will be stuck where they are. And by the way, they are. So it's like a 50-50 thing. And therefore, mm-hmm. since 50% are not in favor of separate country and Spain being very, very clear that they will not allow it, and they have also legal means. And also military means, by the way, to not allow it. It will not happen. And what I okay. envision is a little bit, maybe the last remark about this is that in the Basque, in the north, you know, they have been negotiating more and more independence that they can political decisions within the region, less from the national side. And I believe this will a negotiation process will start, and in Barcelona more decisions can be made, less dependence on Madrid, but it will be part of Spain. So in terms of the real estate market, property investments, I think that it will be settling, and the unrest and all the news will be, you know, settling down a bit. Mm-hmm. And life goes on. And what you see in the market is that there's a lot of demand. I'm talking specifically here of the city of Barcelona, not only from Spanish or mm-hmm. Catalonia people, but also from Europe, America, Asia, because of the city, because of it's a nice city to live in, and there's a lot of culture, historic, and you know, nice food,
don't
drink, people.
Beach.
In other words, the quality is great. A house there.
Yeah, and don't forget
sorry,
they have a really big football team, FC. Oh, yeah, sorry. Don't forget
yeah.
they have a really big football team called FC Barcelona. Really a big sales machine.
Yes,
really
that's
a big sales machine. Over a stadium
yeah.
with over 80,000 seats, and it's full every match. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Yeah.
So, but if you go back to the investing into Spanish or especially Barcelona real estate, why should someone do it or not do it?
In the end, you know, I'm an economist myself. I'm very number oriented, and I think that every investor should have try to make decisions from rationale, so you know, do the numbers work, as well as from your gut feeling. And what is very, very important, in my opinion, is to have good, trustworthy partners wherever I work. And we have that there, and they have access because of their network and the position that they have in the market and the team that they have access to deals below market. In other words, they can purchase from banks or other sources quite a bit below the current market price, and therefore the risk is limited, because if you, for instance, buy 20% below the market, what is really money? No such thing as risk-free, but it's low risk. And yeah, you so it's a combination of things. You go.
Okay, I would say that you would diminish the risk. I mean, if you would go to a bank and say, I have a home, can I get a loan of 50% of the sales price? Yeah, they were going to give you a loan, normally, in most cases.
Yeah, you can with this. So, so what we do is we make it possible for retail investors from 10,000 euro and up to participate in deals with other retail investors and with professional investors. I like to. I do enjoy the fact that I make it possible for people like you and myself, just normal people, to participate with 10,000 euro in deals that would otherwise be. That you will not be in the know. It will be between professionals, and they do the deals. And through us, it's possible to join, and that's a regulated process, and we have the license to do that.
That's impressive, because I know that if you want to get a license in the financial sector, you're really basically drafting and filing paperwork, and it's really bureaucratic work.
Yeah, it has been. In total, it was a 12 months period that we had to take to arrange the whole licensing process, including all the documentation and all the questions and everything. And that was just to get started. And now we have to report on a regular basis to the regulator in Holland, which is fine. So we have a good relationship with them, and we act according to rules, so it's all good.
And what our listeners should realize is that the Dutch financial regulator is one of the toughest in the European Union and one of the toughest in Europe. Compared to other ones, if you look, for example, at the British license, it's not really easy to get a license as a broker or whatever in the finance sector. Because, basically they need to bring in new business to the City of London.
Right. Yeah. So, of course, you have different types of license. So we don't have a broker license or something such as that. What we do have is, I don't know the exact English wording, but basically what we do is that we can arrange, work with other people's money, basically. In other words, investors can participate, and it goes through our platform. We have a different legal structure for, let's say, an escrow account when all the money is flowing. And
let's say that the thing that we hope that never will happen, that your company goes down, the money of the investors is safe.
Yes, that is. That I can really confirm this, because it's totally, this money stream is totally outside of our company. And if the company would go bankrupt or whatever, and then that's just completely legally separated. Correct. So that is the safe structure.
What interest rates or profits could people make on your platform on average? Just if you would, on average, let's say someone want to borrow money, what would you have to pay on interest rate on your via your platform?
Yeah. Okay.
Roughly.
So the regulated thing that we do. Loan based, and we can do convertible loans. And what we also can do and do is
are you still there?
Yeah,
I call you. I call you if I need. Yeah, okay, great.
Okay,
okay. Ik pak het wel op bij de
Okay,
marge.
yeah.
So if you would invest in via your platform, what profits or what margin or what return on investment could someone make?
Yes.
On average, just
okay. So that is
figures.
That obviously depends on the project by project, the risk profile, but that is between 5 and 9% interest per annum. Normally. And obviously when there's more security and guarantees and low risk, the interest rate will be lower and so on. So the last project that you have seen in Barcelona that we were talking about, the terms there are pretty simple. It's fixed duration of 12 months. You get an interest rate of 7%, and there's a bonus interest of 3%. And what that means is that with a certain sales price resulting in a very good, result of the project financially, we all share in the profits, meaning there's an extra 3% interest. So that in total is 7 plus 3 in this case. But of course, it's by project.
Well, even if it would be just 5%, I mean, my bank says basically, well, we are no longer offering savings accounts, so please don't bring your money to us. Go somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly. Yeah, that is
0% interest rate of 5%. I know where to put my finger on.
Okay.
Get me the 5%.
Yeah, thank you for that. Yes, and we do try to have a great alternative for savings accounts in the sense that we are always looking for collateral for securities on behalf of the investors to make it, reliable,
as
low risk.
As possible.
Yes. And and then it's, in my opinion, it's a very good alternative to just saving instead of, 1% or less, you get 5% or more.
Yeah. Well, that sounds lovely to me. And what do you think about Spanish real estate in general for the next decade or as an investment? Just if you look at your crystal ball and you look at the future.
Yes, well, in the country of Spain, and again, we are not only active in Spain, but there was a steep crisis. It hit harder than in Holland, and in the crisis period, a lot of companies in the real estate world were going bankrupt and were getting into big trouble financially. So the prices really dropped by more or less 50% nationwide. And from 2014, it came back up again. And what you see now is a big difference between the main cities, Barcelona, Madrid, and the rest of the country. So, the two main cities are hot, and there's a lot of demand. Prices are going up a lot. And that's a little bit the case in other parts of the country, but less so. I think that the market in Barcelona and Madrid will stay very strong. The listeners from Holland will know that a place like Amsterdam is hot as well, and it will it can cool off at some point, and it will cool off a little bit at some point, but in general it will stay. The value will stay there as there is always demand, and there is a lot of people working there, and people just want to live there, including the expats and so on. So you can compare that a little bit with Madrid and Barcelona. It will stay strong, and therefore I'm so excited that we have a partner that is able to, despite the hot market, is able to purchase a lot below market price. And how can they do this? This has to do with the crisis period, meaning that on the banks, on the balance sheets, banks a lot, and I'm about thousands and thousands of properties that are still there. At some point, they get back into the market, and they select companies who they want to work with, which they can rely on. And if you are in that position as a company, that's absolutely great, because on a very regular basis, every week, there's new property opportunities that other people just don't know about, that our partners there are accessing. So big opportunity for the coming years, at least. For the long term, I'm not really thinking that long term, in because the offers, the propositions that we offer are 1, 2, 3 years, mm-hmm. and then we will see, you know. So for the coming couple of years, it will be great.
And afterwards, you see where the best opportunities are and bring your money to the best opportunities.
Yes, correct. And, you know, don't put all your eggs in one basket, obviously. So I'm not doing that also. I'm diversified as well. And everybody should do this. And therefore, it's even, you know, it's so good that you can, through a company like Matching Capital, you can do 10,000 here, 10,000 there, 10,000 there. For some people, that's big money. For a lot of people in Holland, at least, that's attainable, that you can, you know, put an amount like this.
10,000 in.
Yes, and leave it there for a year or two or three and get a nice return on this and then move on.
Okay, is there any last word of advice for our listeners?
Well, I'm laughing a little bit because it's always, if people are asking for my advice, I'm always a little bit cautious, because I'm so cautious with the laws and regulations. And
I would not say that you have to say buy this or buy this. Just something to, so for example, something, read this book, something to think about.
Okay.
We are now heading to the Christmas day, something to think about to make people a better investor. Without you getting your financial regulators and me getting 6 media regulators in my back and financial regulators at the same time.
Okay, I see. Okay.
Sometimes I don't know who are worse.
Right. Well, what I do, and I was talking about this last night, I did a presentation for a group of investors on invitation, and I get a similar question. And in my experience, there's quite some people who are really either starting or want to become an investor and really don't have the experience, or they really kind of understand but not completely understand all the details about a deal. So my general advice will always be to do your own homework, do your own research, and if you are not experienced, for example, if you would, you know, consider joining in a project like we were talking about in Barcelona and you have never been there and you don't know the market, then study the documentation, study the numbers, the calculations that have to be there. If they are not there, that's suspicious, right? We always do transparent and share information. And if you really cannot judge, then find someone, a friend or a business friend or a coworker who is a little bit more experienced, and they will have very different questions than yourself, and you will be more comfortable when you make a decision. So always make sure you make an informed decision, and the Christmas time is a great time to study a little bit. Also, you know, there are great books out there, you know, including things like Property Investing for Dummies, that you can read with a glass of wine or a glass of water or whatever. And then to become a little bit more educated. So when a property deal comes along, you are more positioned and prepared to make an informed decision.
Okay. Is anything you want to add or say?
No. Well, I just want to thank you. It was nice and fun from my side to be invited for this interview. I hope it was interesting for the listeners and for yourself, Lodewijk.
It was sincerely, and if you ever have a new project that you need to get some attention from, I'll be more than happy to put you on.
And great.
Yeah, well, that would be
yes.
fun.
Yes, okay, let's do that.
Okay, great.
Okay, well, thank you, Lodewijk. Okay. Have a great Christmas time.
Thanks. Soon. Hey, bedankt, perfect. We hebben hem.
Ja, we hebben hem. Ja,
ik heb hem.